You know, any great vision, you want other people to come into it. You want other people to be blessed by the atmosphere of it and to be able to join and be part. And I know mom and dad have been working hard so other people can be part of this blessing. And I tell you what, anytime you have a vision to do something great for God, there's going to be resistance. There's going to be evil spoken of you. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be hurdles you have to jump. There's going to be all kinds of times where it feels like, I guess this is the stopping point. But hurdles were made for a purpose. Hurdles were created never to stop races, but to challenge the runner. Every hurdle was meant to become a triumph. Every hurdle was meant to be jumped over. And so when you run to a hurdle, you don't stop, but you actually use your momentum to keep going forward. Don't stop at hurdles and point out how high they are, but instead speed up as you get closer to a hurdle. Did you know that's what a good hurdle runner does? They actually speed up when they get closer to the hurdle. They actually engage the hurdle. And it reminds me of King David when that great hurdle, Goliath, was standing before him. And the scripture says that when it was go time, he ran at Goliath. He sped up towards this hurdle. And not only did he overcome him, but he overcame all the Philistines. And from that day forward, he won battles against the Philistines all the days of his kingship. It's amazing because he won for 40 years as a king. He won victories and he won victories. And so his son Solomon reigned in peace. Why did his son Solomon reign in peace? Because he had won some victories. You know, there's a lot of things that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us to win some victories so that we could reign in peace. But you have to learn to enjoy what's been done for you and how to be blessed. There's a lot of us that desire to be blessed, but we have no idea how to be blessed. And so we look around at everyday circumstances and we decide, am I blessed? And the circumstances say no, so we say, well, I guess I'm not blessed. But we have to know by faith. The Bible says that the just, those that have been justified, those that are blessed with Father Abraham, we have to walk intentionally and on purpose in a blessing and not a curse. We have to do it on purpose. And so you don't wait to see if you're blessed. You know you're blessed, then you move forward. If there's anything you're going to do in life that's going to be great, you have to decide before you start, am I blessed enough to do this thing? And then if you're counting on the blessing to do it, then when money gets short, the blessing can overcome that. But if you're counting on money from the get-go, if you're not counting on being blessed, then you're counting on the resources of people. You're counting on wealth of the earth, wisdom of the earth. But we're not doing that. We're not expecting to make it from here to heaven by money or finances. And so we don't use money or finances to rule our life because that can't get us where we're going. What good is it to gain the whole world and then lose your soul? And we know that there is a curse that had covered the whole earth from the days of Adam and Eve. God made everything. He said it was good. Adam and Eve were brought into this blessing, and God had given them a command. The command was, of all the trees in the garden and of all the food that I have put in here, I want you to enjoy it freely. All of it except one, because it's harmful to you. If you eat of that tree, you will surely die. So don't touch that tree. But oftentimes we picture the commandment of God to be, he told them, don't eat of the tree. But that was only the second part of what he talked about. He said, of all that I made, I want you to enjoy it free. That was a commandment. That was a commandment. Of everything I made for you right here, I want you to enjoy it freely. Freely means this: no worry, no guilt. You're not worried about when you do it. Whenever you want it, grab it. The refrigerator's open. But of that one tree, don't eat. And so we get so caught up on the one tree that we don't enjoy the rest. Because we try to get so caught up in the one thing. Well, why can't we have that one? Well, it looks good. I mean, it looks like it's fine. If all the other trees look good, and I mean, it looks just as good as that. Well, maybe if I were to have it, maybe it would help me to do something. Maybe it would make me more like God. And that was the conclusion that Eve came up with because the devil lied to her. God knows that if you eat of this tree, you will be like him to know both good. And he knows that it'll make you like him. I want you to know from the beginning, God made us in his image. We are already like him. We were already like him. So what the devil wanted them to do is, I want you to eat of it so that you'll look like me. I want you to get in my image. And in order to get you in my image, I need you to yield to my word. I need you to believe me and trust me over God. So therefore, the Bible says he was the most subtle. He was crafty. He was good at using words to try to convince you of a lie. Even though the Bible says he is the father of all lies, every word that comes out of his mouth is a lie, even if he makes it sound good. So what the devil will do is he'll try to use some of God's word to support his lies. And so when he was talking with Jesus, when Jesus was fasting for 40 days, he began to say things like this: it is written by God the Father. And he started quoting scripture. This is the devil talking, not Jesus. The devil said, it's written, but he was using it for the purpose of trying to get Jesus to not bow to the Father, but bow to him so that he would become the master over Jesus. And so he was using words that were true to actually support a lie. And we have to be careful that we don't use, as God's children, the word of God to try to prove us right and true, but we're in the wrong spirit. In the wrong spirit. We're actually using the word to support something that doesn't lead to life. You know? The Bible says that we should love everybody. Yeah, but don't use that to support a lie. What does love look like? If I saw you about ready to walk off a cliff, would love stop you? Would love stop you? Or would love let you walk off a cliff? Talk to me. Come on. We know love good enough. Would love stop us? Would love stop us? If love could speak, would it stop me from walking off a cliff? Well, then if I see someone walking off the cliff, then love would stop me, not just say, well, I love them so they can do whatever they want. Love would say, no, don't do that. That's going to lead you to an end in which you don't want. So love will speak. And so when people try to tell the church or the body of Christ how to love, I can't listen to that. You can't listen to that. We can't listen to that. We listen to the Spirit that gave love to us. And nobody found love until they have received Christ Jesus. Because the love of man is different than the love of God. The love of the flesh is different from the love of God's Spirit. The love of my flesh will cause me absolutely to love myself more than anyone else's flesh. And because of that, my love stands in a selfish position at all times. And if it's good for me, then I like it. And as long as you're pleasing me, I love you. If you're not pleasing me, I don't love you. And if you're pleasing me, then you must love me. And if you're not pleasing me, you don't love me. But I want you to know that love will grieve you. Love will grieve you. Love will grieve you because it's trying to save your life. So the young man tells the young girl, if you love me, if you really love me, then I need you to go more than words, because saying I love you, it's not the words I want to hear from you. If you only knew how easy it is to show to me how real. It's a song I'm actually quoting. More than words. It sounds so nice. But what it's saying is, get physical with me to prove you love me. Prove it. Right? And so there is a love that is supporting a lie. There's a love out there that supports a lie. The love of God will tell you, judgment is coming over the whole world, but the judgment wasn't meant for you. It was meant for the father of lies. But whoever puts themselves to be on his team, in his family, or in his body, or supporting his words, is going to be part of the judgment that comes upon him. I don't want you to face that judgment. So I am offering you, I'm telling you, here is the way to escape that judgment. Let my son pay for your judgment. And you come out of judgment, and I want you to come into the blessing. So Jesus was sent on the cross, and he died for you and me. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now think about it. If God's love was selfish, would he have given his only begotten son? No, because selfish love would have said, no, I'm going to keep it for myself and sorry for them. But love gave. Even to its own hurt, even to my own hurt, I gave. The Bible says that when King Solomon had come in to be the king and God blessed him with more wisdom than any man on earth had ever had before, and it was his first trial that he had to try. He had to find out whether someone was telling the truth or someone was lying, and he had to make a godly, kingly decision. And the way he did it was amazing. Two women came to him. Both of them had just had a child. One of the children were dead. One of the children was alive. One of the women said, hey, this is my baby that's alive. And she's saying that it's her baby because her baby died in the night. And now she's so distraught, she's saying, I stole her baby. And so this living baby belongs to me, but she's claiming it's hers. The baby over here that had died, the woman said, hey, listen, her baby died last night. And when I went to sleep, she exchanged my baby and woke up acting like her baby was, and that baby's mine. This baby's her, the dead baby's hers. And so King Solomon is going to use the wisdom from heaven to find out who's who. Now watch what he does. He says, okay, I tell you what I'm going to do. Bring me a sword. We're going to cut the living baby in half, and we're going to give you both half of the baby. And this was great wisdom. Suddenly, one of the women came forward and said, no, 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 no. She's the mother. Let her have the baby. Do the baby no harm. God said, that is the love of a mother. There's the mama right there. The one that was willing to forgo the goodness of herself and what she wanted to own, but rather supported the life and backed off. That's mama. Why? Because love will pay a sacrifice. Love will pay a price to make sure that whatever the subject is that it loves goes on living. And so God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would believe and receive him, he gives us power to become sons of God and children of God. He brings us out of the curse and into a blessing. So anybody that was born like Adam and Eve of a natural, from Adam and Eve as a natural man, from the seed of Adam, they were born under an earthly realm, which the Bible called cursed. The reason it was cursed is because the life of God, the Spirit of God, wasn't moving in that curse. And they were no longer participating with the life of God in the life in which they're living. So even though the seed could produce life, it was always tending towards death. And so guess what? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. You're born of that seed. Well, that seed does not have the ability to remain forever because the blessing had been removed from it. The life of God himself was removed from it. Oh, and by the way, everything you do from now on, by the sweat of your brow and the effort of your doing and the wisdom of man and whatever you can do, you're going to rule over yourself only to come to the conclusion you have no power when death comes. There's nothing you can do about it. So as great as you can become, you will always have to fear death because that is your moment to realize how weak you are. There's nothing you can do about death. And so he let us live the life. But he kept saying, hey, there's a better way. And he started a great, great thing by sending the great man Abraham to be the father of faith. If you know the history of Abraham, Abraham starts in Genesis chapter 12. Interns say amen. Those that were with me this morning, we had a good time at 8 a.m. looking at that. So as we're looking at the man Abraham, God said, hey, listen, all people of the earth are under a curse. I want them to be blessed. Will you let me bless you? That's what he said. Will you let me bless you? And he said, if you're willing to follow me, I will lead you into a life of blessing, and whoever connects with you or whatever comes out of your loin will also be part of that blessing. My plan is to bless all people. I want every person on the earth to be blessed, but in order to start the blessing, I need one person that's willing to come into the blessing and follow me in the ways of God and not follow man in the ways of man. I need you to be willing to come out of the curse and enter into the blessing. And the only way to do that is to completely leave your own understanding. Because you do not understand the way of the blessing, the way of life. You only know the way of the curse. You only know the ways of the flesh. That's all you know, because that's all you have. But if you will follow me, I will bless you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless all the families of the earth because of you. I will make you a blessing. If they curse you, I'll curse them. If they bless you, I'll bless them too. So God offered the blessing to the earth. And somebody had to be willing to walk. And when he walked in the ways of God, it wasn't his own decision making of where he went or what he was going to do. God cast a covenant and a vision over him and told him, this is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to go. And so he began to follow God, and God counted that. The Bible says that faith to trust God was counted as righteousness before him. So now he is standing before the Lord, praise the Lord, righteous before God, meaning he can now go to God anytime he wants as if him and God are buddies. Because he has entered back into a relationship with the life of God and the blessing of God. So Abraham was blessed. I was talking with the group this morning, and we asked the question, we know his natural seed, the blood of Abraham, those people on the earth today, what do you call them? Jews. Jews. So the nation of Israel that we know today, which is only about the size of Western Washington. So just picture Western Washington. And on every border, they have an enemy. So they're the size of Western Washington's, and they have nations, some of them that are huge, some of them that have some of the greatest military might surrounding their small little place. Okay? But the nation came about from the blessing. From God. God blessed them. So that's why Israel exists today. They got the name Israel because of his grandson. It went Abraham. His blessing went on to Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob's name got changed to Israel. Israel, Jacob, had 12 sons who became the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. So there's different tribes. And so you might hear, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. Hoo-ah. We have all these different, but they're all part of Israel. So now, if you look over history, since God established Israel, someone has been trying to wipe them out ever since. Ever since God started Israel, someone's tried to wipe them out. And we know this, I'll promise you this, let me just make a pastoral promise. If there is ever a fight of Armageddon, the last battle on the earth, Israel will be the centerpiece of why everybody's fighting. How can a place the size of Western Washington with so few people be the center of the whole world's focus of war? Right now, all eyes are on Israel. All eyes are on Israel. I asked the question this morning, what do we know about Israel and the people? Per capita, what do you think the richest people in the world are? Per capita, that means per person. So out of all the people of the United States of America, if you divided the wealth up to all those people of how much each person has, per capita, each person, their value, how much money they got, how much you think, who do you think the wealthiest people are per capita? How could it be this little place that came from, and it happens to be from the same guy that God said, I'm going to bless you. Now, and I'm going to curse those that curse you, and I'll bless those that bless you. You know why the United States has been blessed for so long? Because we've blessed Israel. Now, we've started backing off that, and I'm telling you, let me prophetically say, don't back off blessing Israel. Don't do it. Don't do it. The Bible, God himself, the one that I'm claiming I'm blessed from, he said, you better bless them. Even if you don't like them, you better bless them. Some people have started hating Israel because they learned it on a college campus and they don't even know why. They don't know anybody from Israel. They don't know the people. But they've just started to take this, well, no, who do they think they are type of approach. It's an amazing thing that not only have they stood the test of time, and when other kingdoms have failed, Israel's still sitting there. What happened to the great Egyptian empire? Where is it at? Pharaoh, Pharaoh, oh, Pharaoh. Let my people go, Where's Pharaoh? He's in a big tomb, dead. Israel's still cranking. Where is the Roman Empire? Because Rome was over the top of Israel in the days of Jesus, telling them what to do. Where's the Roman Empire? Where are they at? All these kingdoms are going to fade away, but this one won't. It'll never fade away. It'll never fade away. Saul, Saul, how long will you kick against the pricks? Meaning, how long will you fight up against what I'm establishing? So it's an amazing thing for a Christian person to not understand, if they claim they're blessed, then they're only blessed with Abraham. But yet, a lot of them have a problem with Abraham's children. Right? Because they don't know any better. They don't recognize. It's ignorance. The Bible says a lack of wisdom and knowledge is bad for people on this planet. And so a lot of people have zeal, but no wisdom or knowledge. And so they go forward and they want to do marches and they want to hold a sign, but they don't even really have the wisdom to understand the circumstances in which really exist. There is a blessing and there is a curse, and you are being offered to walk in one of them. So Abraham walked in the blessing. Guess what? He was blessed. And he wasn't just blessed where it was like, I'm blessed way down deep in here in this small little place. He was blessed to the point where kings said, please make a covenant of peace with us, because we can see God is blessing you and we don't want to fight you because we'd be fighting God. That's what they said. Kings, nations came to him and said, whoa, 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 whoa. God's with you and we don't want to fight that. My point is, the blessing should be recognizable. People should be able to see the blessing. Sometimes us good spirit, you know, good, nice Christians, we try to be blessed in a way that, you know, you're supposed to let your light shine. When light shines in darkness, it should be seen. And so oftentimes we're afraid for the light of God to shine in our lives because we don't want, I don't want other people to feel judged by me shining. And, you know, it might show that they're not shining. Man, you remember when you finally quit drinking, clubbing, smoking, doing all that? You remember when you finally quit? Suddenly, I had some friends that looked at me because I didn't want to go there no more, say, oh, you're judging me. Why does me choosing to walk in the blessing judge you? So they wanted me to show them that I'm not judging them by doing it with them. Show me you're not judging me by doing it with me. Puff, puff, give. Come on, you're messing up the rotation. Get back in this thing. I messed up the circle. Especially when I was the one buying all the time. You know, I said, you remember when you quit? And some of you said, oh, because you haven't quit yet. I'm not saying that to curse you or accuse you or anything. Jesus put it like this. I'm not coming to accuse people of anything. I'm not coming to try to condemn people of anything. They're already condemned. They're already in the curse. They're already guaranteed to go a certain way if they don't get out of that. I'm coming trying to save them. I'm trying to tell them there's a cliff. And I'm a bridge. That's all I'm trying to do. So I don't need to come to people and say, oh, I can't believe you're doing that. No, because that's very natural. It makes very much sense under the curse. In the way, it makes sense. No big deal. So there is a way of the blessing. When the curse came on the scene, you got pride and murder happened within one generation. Now, everything was blessed and meant to live forever and be good for each other, and nothing was going to hurt each other, and everything was working under the order in which God had sent it. When God was removed from the equation, everything started getting out of order. Started getting out of order. And so stuff was not, you know what? Families were supposed to work in a certain order, and there was supposed to be honor all the way up. I think I'm looking at the generation that has lost the most honor that's ever been on the planet. I think I'm looking at that generation. It's the generation that's getting ready to be our leaders, and they've lost honor. They've lost it. They think they don't need it. They've lost honor. Honor is a way of the blessing. There's no way to walk in the blessing and disrespect honor. Can't do it. And so no matter what they build or what they do or how high they can get in technology, honor is out of place, and they will do it all under the banner when they arrive of the curse. Unless they change and come under the banner of the blessing. The blessing is offered to everybody on the planet. But here's the challenge of the blessing. The blessing does not go the way of the earth and of flesh, of natural thinking, the ways of the culture, but the blessing moves the way of a spirit which people of the earth or flesh can't see the spirit that they're supposed to follow. So they can't see it. So they trust their own feelings. They trust other people. They trust technology. They trust the money in their pocket. They trust the money in their mama's pocket. Some of you have been living off mama long enough. At this point, you're supposed to be supporting mama. You're supposed to be putting money into her pocket, not taking it out of her purse. You're supposed to be filling her gas tank up and not watching her on your phone as she's out there pumping the gas. That generation does not even see what they're doing. And so they have no plan to be a blessing where they should. And they feel someone should bless them. Someone should bless me. Well, let me make it plain tonight, because we're going to be here that long. That's a joke. We won't be here that long. Are you blessed? I want everybody in the church to either give me a yes or no. And if you don't say anything, I take that as a no. Everybody in the church, are you blessed?
Yes.
Then, if you're blessed, that means you follow the way of an invisible spirit. Because you can't be blessed without him. What does the word blessed mean? What does the word blessed mean? Empowered to prosper. Empowered to prosper. So the blessing, I've been given the power back to prosper in the life that God intended originally. I've been empowered. I've been empowered. When I go somewhere, I'm empowered. I can do what God's called me to do. I can be who God called me to be. I can have what God has called me to have. And no matter what weapon works against me, it will not prosper, because I have been empowered to prosper in my assignment. Nothing can stop me on my assignment now. Now, is there going to be stuff that tries to stop me? Yes. Paul was doing the assignment, preaching the gospel around the world. And guess what? He was in 3 shipwrecks. And every time his ship wrecked, he was going somewhere to preach the gospel. Some of us will say, that's not that big of a deal. I've been in 4 car crashes. Yeah, but you weren't about your father's business where you were going. You were just driving. He was working a purpose. He was being led by a spirit. He was going to do something that would bless people. It's like trying to go on a mission trip, spending $4,000 to go bless other people. The plane going down, when the plane goes down, you don't find the next ride home. You keep going until you get to Nicaragua. That's how the blessing works, because it empowers you to do what you're sent to do. That's why I said I got to preach this morning. I got to. Sickness was... And don't get me wrong, I'm going to rest when I'm done. But I got to get this out. There is a way of the curse and there is a way of the blessing. All of the earth without God is going the way of the curse. Don't get me wrong. Under the curse, the sun still shines. The rain still falls. Natural wisdom and knowledge and gifts and talents are given. There's some people that don't know Jesus that can sing so beautifully. It's just a joy to listen to them sing. But it doesn't mean they're under the blessing. And when you start listening to some of their lyrics, so this is my big apology. I owe Courtney and Jordan, I owe you an apology. I was at their wedding, and it was told to me that there was a saint not dancing. But the saint would dance if one song came on. So I heard, and I went to Mr. DJ and said, Mr. DJ, can you play that song? Can you play The Wobble? And Mr. DJ said, why, yes, I can. And then one song ends, and he says, well, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Brandon Rainwater just requested The Wobble. I'm like, well, it didn't have to be all that. You didn't have to announce Pastor Brandon Rainwater asking for The Wobble. Now, mind you, I have no idea what The Wobble is. No clue. And there it came. There it came. I was literally hiding. I was trying to hide behind people like, oh, what have I done? Courtney, Jordan, forgive me. My point is, just because certain things aren't under the blessing doesn't make it not fun. There's a, you know what I mean? It doesn't make it where it's like, well, that's not the blessing, but just because it's the curse doesn't mean it doesn't taste good. There's some food that you shouldn't be having, but it tastes so good. There's some drugs that can make you feel oh so good, but you shouldn't be having them, right? So my point is, I don't want you to picture the curse is just this. Ugh. The curse can be quite enjoyable. The problem with it is when you get to the cliff. That's when you realize it's a curse. And isn't it an amazing thing that even people under the curse that don't know Jesus, when they get there, they all say the same thing. Oh my God. Why? Because they need to call on something greater than them, because they have no power against that cliff. They recognize this is that place that I don't have strength myself to deal with it. So don't push me because I'm close to the edge. And I'm really trying to have the mind of Christ and not lose my head. So Christ opened up a door for the blessing to flow. But with the blessing, the curse mocks, challenges, fights up against the blessing. That's why I said, as long as Israel exists, it'll have enemies trying to fight it at all times. More so than other nations. More so than other. Israel shapes world history as you know it in your lifetime. It shapes. The whole battle has been trying to get everything to calm down based on Israel. So as long as it exists, because it's blessed by God, it's going to be resisted. The Bible said Ishmael, born of the flesh to Abraham, always tried to mock Isaac, born of the spirit, because the flesh will always try to mock the spirit. That's why people love to tease church people. That's why they like to try to immediately cut it down like, oh, you know, Bible thumper. Oh, it's just a crutch for weak people. You know, there's certain things that immediately they pull out. Why? Because I'm not going to be part of it, I'm going to try to cut it down. And so they belittle it. It seems like, oh, that's just da 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 da. I don't see why you always got to go to church. Well, first off, I don't always got to go to church. I always got to go to work. And that work is not under the blessing. But I do it. I do it. Why? Because I feel like I have to. I feel like I have to. I'd rather be under the blessing all day long. I'd rather be under the blessing. Now, under the curse, poverty came on the scene. There was no poverty under the blessing. Poverty does not exist under the blessing. Murder, not under the blessing. What else? Depression never existed. Addiction did not exist with the blessing. That all was a product of the curse. And it became a way, under this curse, the devil had more and more ways to have influence over people. Because everything is tending towards death and there's not enough resources under the curse, I'm going to teach you how to store up some and not give it to other people so that you have more than they got. Right? So it started bringing selfishness in because there's limited supply. Under the blessing, it's like a river. The river never runs dry. So over here, giving is the theme. Over here, getting is the thing. Over here, doing and my accomplishments is who I am. Over here, being is who I am. So you got doing, being, you got giving, getting, you got loving by the spirit, and you got loving by the flesh. Flesh will love it as long as it gets its way. Where's my daughter? Is she in here? My daughter was upset this morning at her mother because her mother was not going to let her go back with the other children until she showed signs that she was feeling better. But she wanted to go back there with them, right? And so she couldn't get out of her mind to quit thinking about not going with them. So the more she thought about it, the more frustrated she got. And the more she thought about it, the more reasons that she wants to go back there came into her mind. Rather than simply being able to say, okay, mom. Because she resisted, all these thoughts came into her mind that didn't need to ever arrive. A lot of us have thoughts in our mind that only arise because we've resisted the blessing. We've resisted the way of the Spirit. And so all these, rather than just to yield to it, we stand up against it but still want the blessing. I'm trying to show you there's a way of the blessing and there's a way of the curse. All of God's people who are led by the Spirit are part of that blessing. Do you believe you're blessed with Father Abraham? Raise your hand if you're blessed with Father Abraham. Okay. Was Father Abraham blessed with only spiritual blessings? Come on, talk to me. Come on. How many of us say that, you know, the blessings of Abraham now, like, okay, it's only spiritual things. So we suffer under the curse and all the natural things, but spiritually one glad morning when this life is over, I will get wings and fly. But in the meantime, I'm just under the curse. But peace to you. You know, one of the things that the blessing is supposed to be able to do, it's supposed to give us the ability to employ people. The blessing should be able to employ people. Now, if you employ someone, I just want you to give them some of your blessed substance, and I want you to give them a paycheck that says peace, joy, and happiness, and see if they want to keep working for you. A lot of us don't believe that the blessing should manifest in the natural realm. Well, the curse manifested in the natural realm, and Jesus has removed us from the curse, that we no longer have to be ruled over the government of a curse, but under the government of a blessing. If I do that, that's absolutely going to have to impact natural things as long as I'm in this natural body. Otherwise, I'm still a slave to the curse as long as I'm in this body, but when I leave this body, I will no longer be a slave to the curse. So I have to decide right now, am I under the blessing or under the curse? And if I'm under the blessing, what has been removed, what no longer has the right to control me or shape me or tell me who I am or tell me what I can have? What's changed if I'm blessed and cursed? Since you've been saved and got filled with the Holy Spirit, what has changed in the government of your life that everybody on the planet can see it? What's changed? If nothing has changed, then we have some work to do. Galatians chapter 3. Travis, Lorena, you got the keys to your new place? You got the keys to your new place? First place? First condo? May there be many more. Wait a minute. Weren't you two, at least one of you, was at the class that we had right here at the church to teach people how to buy houses? When you went there, didn't you already have in your mind you didn't think you could? You changed your mind because you were given some wisdom and you started operating in a power of wisdom rather than of fear, and now you're sitting in your house? Okay. We're called to empower believers everywhere to fulfill their God-ordained purpose. Some of you are hard to empower because you don't value honor, wisdom, the word of God, the movement of the Spirit, and you don't see when good comes. You don't see when it was brought to your doorstep so you could have what you couldn't have and you could do what you couldn't do, and you don't take advantage of it. If you've been praying for a house and missed that meeting, it's hard for the church to help you. I want a house, but I don't want the knowledge. I'm just praying that God's going to do something. It's not how the blessing works. The blessing asks, seeks, and knocks. The blessing goes after the deep things and tries to get an understanding and a wisdom and a knowing. The blessing should make you wise. Come on. I'm tired of people wanting a house, can't get one. Wanting a job, can't get one. What are you talking about? Aren't you blessed? Well, you're going to have to walk in it then. You're going to have to walk in it. You have to walk in the blessing. You see what grandma is doing to granddaughter? Where's she at? Granddaughter? Grandma is trying to teach her the ways of the blessing. So she brings her with her to church. So can I grab her and bring her to church? Because I'm trying to, before I get out of here, pass the blessing on. That it gets into the next generation. And doesn't stop with me. So Abraham, if the blessing would have stopped with him, it wouldn't have reached us. He had to make sure Isaac got it. And Isaac had to make sure Jacob got it. And Jacob had to give it and pass it on, and it had to keep going. Somebody needs to be blessed. And like, that's a bad thing, right? So Galatians 3, starting at verse 5, let's read it. All the way to 14. I'm not going to have a voice when I'm done, but I won't need it when I'm done. I just need it now. Lord, give me a few more minutes. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the work of the law or by the hearing of faith? So if anybody's ever been in one of our services where you saw somebody supernaturally have something supernatural happen, it had nothing to do with just flesh and earth. It had something to do with a spirit that came from heaven, and whether it was a healing or a miracle or somebody fell out under the power of God, but you recognize something's at work that's not the flesh, and you are a witness to that. Do I have any witnesses that you've ever seen the spirit move and you knew it was the spirit and not the flesh? Now, did that happen by being so good in your flesh? Because the flesh being good without the spirit, the Bible called it as filthy rags to the Lord. So there's nobody within their own ability can make the spirit do anything. But when the spirit comes, he becomes a witness that there's a higher government. And the higher government, we call it the kingdom. Because the kingdom, this government of the Spirit, is actually ruled by Jesus. And all of his commands and words reaches all the borders, all the end. And all the citizens of this kingdom are under the government of this blessing and not the curse. And the government is a spiritual government. So when you bring the Spirit into contact with the flesh, the Spirit wins. Just like if you were to turn light on where it's dark, what do you call it when you turn the light on in your house? Light. Why? Where does the darkness go? Think about it. It's dark, you turn a light on, and now it's light, but that light had to run the darkness somewhere. It had to overpower it. So is the Spirit, the light of God, and darkness, the flesh of the earth. And if God didn't shine a light on the earth, we would be in utter darkness here. So he had to give us lights. And so when it's daytime, nobody worries about it being dark. What if the darkness comes back? Because as long as the sun is shining, darkness has been pushed away and moved because light overpowers it. So you have to understand that living a life and trying to be good under a law and just being good yourself does not allow you to be blessed, because it's needing your flesh to make you blessed. It's needing someone else's flesh to make you blessed. And so you can try to be just good without the Spirit, but that's not the blessing. That's not the blessing. That's not the blessing. Oftentimes, people that are operating under the law and trying to be good, their number one measurement of how they're doing is people who aren't doing good. So they measure themselves by fallen people to make themselves feel high. But when the light of the world comes and he comes back and he shines, you're going to see how dark you are. We call it the cliff. You will realize, whoa, I have not been all that good. My point is that those that are part of the blessing should get very comfortable with the working of the Spirit. Because the Spirit brings and empowers us with the blessing. Without the Spirit, you cannot be one of God's. I'm just quoting Scripture. I'm not saying these things just on my own. Scripture says, without the Spirit of God, you are none of His. You're not His. You're not His. Why? Because then you're still just someone under a curse, born of Adam's seed, not of God's seed. So we have to get to know the ways of the Spirit. How many of you that are blessed really understand and know and are mature in following the Spirit? And you know how to move with the Spirit. And on purpose, every day, you're led by that Spirit. Well, everybody that you know that's great in the Bible, that was empowered by the Spirit, that's what they did. and the stories you read about them and you hear of miracles was because they learned how to work with the Spirit and not trusting flesh, and the Spirit was able to manifest in the flesh. So healings could happen. Deliverance could happen. These signs shall follow those who believe. If they're blessed by my Spirit, they can cast out demons of darkness. They won't follow demons of darkness. They will remove demons of darkness. So those in the light should cast out darkness. And you and your little outfit is not casting out darkness. You and your nice tie and your cool job is not casting out darkness. It's only by the Spirit of the blessing can you make a command to the curse. So the ways of God are spiritual and not carnal. And the Bible warns of being a carnal Christian. I'm a Christian, but I still am governed by flesh. I'm not governed by the blessing of God and the Spirit of God. I'm governed by the same thing that people that would curse God, I'm sitting with them and I'm just expecting the same thing. I look at the same news they look at and I determine the same thing. I complain the same way they determine what to complain about. Why? Because I'm governed under something that is making me to conform rather than be transformed. He, therefore, that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You have to learn to speak the blessing. Some of us have prophesied that we're so cursed, that's all we keep producing. We've spoke so much curse that we don't even expect blessing. And some of us will stand over here under the curse and speak blessing as if we're going to have it just by saying words. I'll tell you how you can have the blessing. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And the Spirit can't be seen. So how are you being led? Let's keep going all the way to 14. So I'm going to go quick. You ready? On your mark, get set. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Congratulations, you're a Jew. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached the gospel. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. So when I hear the gospel and I believe it, the same way that it was given as righteousness to Abraham, so I have been given righteousness. I'm considered righteous because I believed in the same God that spoke to Abraham. And now I'm blessed with Abraham. So if Abraham could have it, I can have it. If Abraham can do it, I can do it. If it was good for God and his relationship with Abraham, it's good for me and my relationship with God. For as many are of the workers of the law are under the curse. So people, there's still people under the curse. This is after Jesus. This is after Jesus came to remove the curse. But it's only by the gospel being preached that someone hears it that they're able to leave the curse and come into the blessing. They have to respond to the gospel. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. How can you hear without a preacher? And how can one preach unless he is sent? Therefore, faith comes by hearing the word of God. So when you heard the word of the gospel about Jesus Christ and you believed it and you received that, that was not the work of the curse. That was faith that was able to bring you out and bring you into a new existence. It ushered you in. The Bible says Jesus is the door and the gate and the entrance in. If someone tries to get into the blessing without going through Jesus, they cannot come in. Well, I don't know if Jesus is the only way. He's not the only way. There's all kinds of other ways, but they're all going off the cliff. No, yeah, he's not the only way. He's the only way into eternal life with God. He's the only way into being a child of God. He's the only way to have your sins be removed. He's the only way to avoid for sure judgment. But no, he's not the only way. Buddha is a way. And Buddha tries to help me find peace under the curse. All right, next one. Not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you start the law, you got to do all the law. If you're going to be good, then you got to be perfect. If you want to be blessed under the curse, then you're going to have to become a perfect human. And the more you try, the more you should call out for help. The more you try, the more you should try out for help. Because you start recognizing, man, every time I try to do right, I do what I don't want to do. So if my only option is to stay under this curse or call for help, phone a friend. Call. J-E-S-U-S. And he doesn't come accusing you. He doesn't come pointing a finger at you. He comes and he takes all of your old ways, and the Bible says he separates you from it as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? He says he throws it in a sea of forgetfulness to never remember it. So when he sees you, he doesn't think, I wonder where she got the money to buy that dress. Because Jesus is the entrance into the life and the blessing of God. One of the things that people under the curse that are under the law and the curse, and they judge themselves by other people, they try to pressure other people around them to become the blessing that they want. Or they pressure people from a selfish standpoint to try to make their world how they want it. Jesus didn't pressure people. He invited people. He invites people. When I'm trying to build the blessing while I'm under the curse, I'm going to pressure people. I'll use guilt to try to control you. You know what I mean? I'll try to make you do what I want you to do by making you feel guilty. You ever known someone that tried to control people by guilt? They're most dangerous. They are most dangerous. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident that the just shall live by faith. So you can't get out of the curse by trying to be nice. You can only do it by walking in faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. If you don't want to live in faith, you can live under the law. Enjoy it. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So Jesus took the curse on himself and said, I'll take it for you, that all who enter in me now have a right, that I paid for it for them. So when they come in, it's not that we just pretended we didn't see all the evil you did. I actually paid for it. So because I paid for it, you don't have to pay for it again. But if you don't accept me, you will one day pay for it. And that will be the day you realize you've been living under a system that has no power against death. That the blessing, this is why, go back to verse 13. Christ died on a tree for us. He was cursed. And it says everyone that hangs on a tree is cursed. Jesus took on the curse. Why did he take on the curse? For what purpose in your life? Watch. Here's why he did it. Verse 14. So that the blessing of Abraham might come on you. He did it so you could leave the curse and come into the blessing. So do you think it makes God feel good to watch you call him by name and live under a curse? Do you think it brings him any pleasure or joy? Do you think he feels like, yeah, getting what you deserve? Do you think it brings any satisfaction to him to see anybody suffer under the penalty and for something that he'd already paid for you to get out of? No pleasure. No. So don't think that it's like this. Well, if God loved me, he would just bless me right here. No, he cannot bless you right there. He has to invite you into the blessing. But it takes faith to come in. If I'm going to get the blessing, I need something else. And so verse 14, help me out. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that you might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the blessing requires the Spirit. The curse requires my flesh. Now that the blessing is present, which one will I follow? So when I wake up every morning, which one am I going to follow? Because the Spirit, to be spiritually led, to walk in the Spirit always walks in the blessing. My flesh, as long as it's leading, will always walk in the curse. Now, me, my soul, which you don't see right now, you see my body. My soul has been brought to a place. I'm no longer a slave with no choice. I just have to follow my flesh because that's all there is. Now that God has presented himself, the Spirit is present. Now my soul can choose. Amen. Yeah. Will I follow the Spirit, the blessing, or will I follow the flesh, the curse? And I am choosing daily. At this point, because I've come into this place of relationship with Christ, nobody's making me follow the Spirit. If you're being made to follow the Spirit, then you're not following the Spirit. And nobody's making you follow the flesh. But most of us stand on the fence and we say, the reason I'm not walking in the blessing is because of this person, because of this situation. We have all kinds of reasons, but it's our choosing. A little baby full of the Holy Spirit, if they follow the Spirit of God, would be walking in the blessing regardless of their age. And I have seen young children walking in the blessing to a point that makes adults look silly. I've seen young people walk in the blessing. And so they have to sometimes tell their mom and dad, like, that's possible. We can do that. No, we can't. This is how it is. This is how the curse works. This is how we are. No, there's more. There's something else. We could do it. And so oftentimes we try to conform our kids to just realize the world's hard, you know? And we try to conform them. Just conform. And we can't understand why they rebel sometimes. I don't want to be a slave like you are. I know in my spirit there's something more. And I desire the more. And if I have to leave mama and father's house to find more, Abraham, if you would leave your mother and father's house, I'll use you leaving to bless them. Because then I'm going to give them the opportunity to come into what you've come into. We're almost done. It's hot. We're all sweating. Praise the Lord. So the blessing of Abraham comes on you when you're walking in faith, following the Spirit. And wherever you go, the Bible says he'll never leave you and never forsake you. So now on a daily basis, the Bible says I'm choosing. If I walk after the flesh, then I'll live by the flesh. Everything I have will be based on the flesh. If I walk after the Spirit, my whole life will be based on the Spirit. That's Galatians chapter 6. We're not going to turn there because I don't have time. But it says, I'm going to make it simple. If you live your life sowing to the Spirit, into the blessing, you're going to reap. That's the life you're going to live. If you live a life sowing to your flesh, you're going to reap from that. Whatever one you choose, you're going to do it. And there's a lot of I'm warning the generation that's coming up. Many of you are standing over here feeling entitled to what's over there. Like someone should bring it to you. And I just want to warn you. Ways of the Spirit are starting to diminish in the churches. Because we're trying to appeal to people in the flesh. The way of the Spirit will always irritate the flesh. Always. I don't like it. Why'd they have to do that? I don't like it. Who do they think they are? They think they're better than me. It'll always be challenged. Israel will always be under attack. Why? Because it's blessed. So are you warring against the Spirit? Or are you warring against the flesh? King David said something awesome. He stood right here between the blessing and the curse. He had enemies all around him. He was being falsely accused of stuff. He had made his own mistakes. He was feeling bad about his own mistakes. And he said this, I command my soul. That means I'm choosing this. That means I command my soul to bless the Lord. Meaning, I'm going to command that my flesh shut up. I'm going to bless the Lord regardless of what you say, how you feel about it. Give an offering under the curse. Give an offering. Why should I have to do that? Under the blessing, Lord, you have found me worthy that you would receive from me. Because everything I have has been blessed by you. Two different mindsets. So over here, give and it shall be given to you. Over here, make more money. I want you to choose today whether you're blessed or cursed. May heaven and earth record this day your response to this gospel. Now, that should be an awesome thing. Think about it. If there's any sadness, it's because you're already knowing what you're going to choose. But if heaven and earth is going to record that you are part of the blessing, that's what you're choosing, you didn't have to earn it, you just chose it, and you can have it, there should be some... So you're telling me heaven and earth is on notice that I'm part of the blessing? I'm with that group? I'm there? I'm with God? There should be some dancing. There should be some praising. But if I say, as of this day, let it be known, and you get sad and say, well, how can you... Why would you be angry at all? So we close with Romans 8:1. It's one of my favorites. Can I tell you something? I've been letting cursed tendencies have too much say in my going and coming and doing. I've been letting things of the curse be too loud. And so as I'm preaching to all of you, the number one person receiving this message is me. Okay? I am blessed. Amen. I'm blessed. And it wasn't from my own goodness. It was God's goodness and God's love. And I'm accepting that. And I'm yielding to that. And I'm going to allow it to have its work in my life. And I'm going to be comforted in that. And I'm not going to worry about stuff. I'm going to have joy. I'm not going to use manipulation to get people to do what I want them to do. I'm going to speak blessings. I'm going to prophesy. I'm going to declare this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad. I can have what God said I can have. I can be what God said I can be. I'm empowered to prosper. I'm blessed. I'm choosing today. I'm blessed. Heaven, earth, record today. Brandon, Rainwater, blessed. What about you? What do you say? What do you choose? Well, then I'm going to tell you, like one of the Beatles, let it be. Don't fight it. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. How do I let it be, Pastor? When challenges come and try to tell you you're not blessed, I want you to say, it is written that God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, I'm one of the whosoever's. Let's read this last one together. If you're standing, stay standing. You're doing the right thing. Ready? Read. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Has anybody here needed some peace? Has anybody here needed some shame to be gone from their life? Has anybody here just needed some joy? I'm going to tell you how to do it. You can't find it walking in this curse, but it's free in the blessing. So you have to yield. So Father, in the name of Jesus, each person in this place, and those that took a stand to say, Lord, let it be written in heaven and in earth that I stand with you, to be led by your Spirit, to receive the blessing which you gave I didn't earn. And so I'm always in a place of thankfulness and rejoicing. I honor what you honor. Lord, I bless what you bless. And I say, thank you, Lord, for calling me out of darkness and into your marvelous light. You made a way out of no way. Lord, it was impossible for me to earn or achieve, but you, being perfect in your planning and your love towards me, made a way for me. Lord, I have come through that narrow way. I have walked through the door of Jesus Christ, and his blood has cleansed me from all sins. And I stand before you not guilty, but I stand before you righteous because of my faith in you. I thank you, Lord, that you have removed my iniquities from my life. It's not named to me in heaven, nor shall it be named on the earth, that I have been a sinner all the days of my life, but I have been blessed by a good God by grace. And Lord, I thank you. This is the day you've made. I choose to rejoice and be glad. I choose to be happy in it. I choose to follow after you, Lord, because you are a blessing in my life. Lord, let me be a blessing to someone else today. Lord, let me spread this blessing. Let someone else come and touch and agree with me that you are good. Let someone else see that it's the power of the Spirit, not the ability of the flesh, that brings blessing. Lord, let there be freedom in my house. Lord, I forgive everybody in my house that sinned against me. I forgive everybody at the job that sinned against me. Lord, let the news not be what people have done to me, but what you have given me. Let the news be what you are leading me into and not what people are taking from me. Lord, I thank you that you have blessed me in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You have given me all things that pertain to life and godliness. Lord, without you, I can do nothing, but with you, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, I'm more than a conqueror, and nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Lord, if you tell me to rise, I can wake up out of death. Lord, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, your rod and your staff, they protect me. Lord, I thank you that your word doesn't bring judgment to me, but blessing. And Lord, any correction of your word, I'm thankful for correction. Because you love me, you correct me. You told me to watch out for the cliff that was there, Lord. And so I give you praise for all my correction and instruction. You are a good father. You are a good father. You are a good father. Lord, I don't need my name to be in lights, for you have already recognized me. Let this be a new day. Let there be a new spirit in our homes. Lord, let there be a new spirit in our lives. Let there be a fresh anointing. Give us new songs to sing. I declare life. Lord, we speak to anybody who's sick in this place. You said the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow. You said by your stripes we have access to your healing. And so we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. You know, we're going to open up the altar. We're going to close down for everybody. They can put on house music. But if anybody wants prayer, our ministry team is going to pray with you. But for the rest of us, I want you to go in peace. Have a great, listen to me, I really mean it. Have a great, blessed day. No shame or guilt. No fears and worries. You're empowered to handle whatever would come your way. If a challenge comes, guess what? You're greater than that challenge, for God is with us. God bless you. Go in peace.